नमः हरिः ॐ। नमस्कार टू ऑल ऑफ यू। ॐ श्री महागणपतये नमः। ॐ भद्रं कर्णे भिश्रुणुयाम देवाः, भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः, स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेम देवहितैयदायुः। स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः, स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः, स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः, स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ नमस्ते गणपतये, त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं तत्त्वमसि, त्वमेव केवलं कर्तासि, त्वमेव केवलं धर्तासि, त्वमेव केवलं हर्तासि, त्वमेव सर्वं खल्विदं ब्रह्मासि, त्वं साक्षादात्मासि नित्यम्। ऋतं वच्मि सत्यं वच्मि, अवत्वं माम् अववक्तारम्, अवश्रोतारम्, अवदातारम्, अवधातारम्, अवानोचानमवशिष्यम्, अवपश्चात्तात्, अवपुरस्तात्, अवोत्तरात्तात्, अवदक्षिणात्तात्, अवचोर्ध्वात्तात्, अवाधरात्तात्, सर्वतो मां पाहि पाहि समन्तात्, सर्वतो मां पाहि पाहि समन्तात्, सर्वतो मां पाहि पाहि समन्तात्। त्वं वाङ्मयस्त्वं चिन्मयः, त्वमानन्दमयस्त्वं ब्रह्ममयः, त्वं सच्चिदानन्दाद्वितीयोऽसि, त्वं प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मासि, त्वं ज्ञानमयो विज्ञानमयोऽसि। सर्वं जगदिदं त्वत्तो जायते, सर्वं जगदिदं त्वत्तस्तिष्ठति, सर्वं जगदिदं त्वयि लयमेष्यति, सर्वं जगदिदं त्वयि प्रत्येति। त्वं भूमिरापो नलो निलो नभः, त्वं चत्वारि वाक्पदानि, त्वं गुणत्रयातीतः, त्वं अवस्थात्रयातीतः, त्वं देहत्रयातीतः, त्वं कालत्रयातीतः, त्वं मूलाधारस्थितोऽसि नित्यम्। त्वं शक्तित्रयात्मकः, त्वां योगिनो ध्यायन्ति नित्यम्। त्वं ब्रह्मा त्वं विष्णुस्त्वं रुद्रस्त्वमिन्द्रस्त्वमग्निस्त्वं वायुस्त्वं सूर्यस्त्वं चन्द्रमास्त्वं ब्रह्म भूर्भुवस्वरम्। गणादिं पूर्वमुच्चार्य वह्नादींस्तदनन्तरम् अनुस्वारः परतरः अर्धेन्दुलसितं तारेण रुद्धम्। एतत्तवमनुस्वरूपं गकारः पूर्वरूपम्, अकारो मध्यमरूपम्, अनुस्वारश्चान्त्यरूपम्, बिन्दुरुत्तररूपम्, नादसन्धानम्, सगुंहिता सन्धिः, सैषा गणेशविद्या, गणकऋषिः, निच्छृद्गायत्री छन्दः, गणपतिर्देवता। ॐ गं गणपतये नमः। ॐ गं गणपतये नमः। ॐ गं गणपतये नमः। ॐ एकदन्ताय विद्महे वक्रतुण्डाय धीमहि तन्नो दन्तिः प्रचोदयात्। एकदन्तं चतुर्हस्तं पाशमङ्कुशधारिणं, रदं च वरदं हस्तैर्बिभ्राणं मूषकध्वजं, रक्तं लम्बोदरं शूर्पकर्णकं रक्तवाससं, रक्तगन्धानुलिप्ताङ्गं रक्तपुष्पैः सुपूजितं, भक्तानुकम्पिनं देवं जगत्कारणमच्युतम्। आविर्भूतं च सृष्ट्यादौ प्रकृतेः पुरुषात्परम्। एवं ध्यायति यो नित्यं स योगी योगिनां वरः। ॐ नमो व्रातपतये नमो गणपतये नमः प्रमथपतये नमस्तेऽस्तु लम्बोदराय कदन्ताय विघ्ननाशिने शिवसुताय श्रीवरदमूर्तये नमो नमः ॐ श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ This evening class happens to be the first class this year in Sydney. I just want to start with this prayer. And this time I thought that we'll cover this text, Kaivalya Upanishad, for our every day, whenever we have these classes, evening classes, we'll do this text and complete it. So before we enter into this actual text, Kaivalya Upanishad, whoever has got this copy, you can bring it every day when you come to the class, keep it. And it will be continued because there are many verses. I want to complete the whole text. The whole Veda Shastram, the whole Veda consists of two Shastrams, two scriptures. The entire Veda consists of two Shastrams. So we say the first part of the Veda, Vedasya Purva Bhagaha, the first part of the Veda. Then Vedasya Uttara Bhagaha, the later part of the Veda. These two parts of the Veda consist of two different Shastrams. One text consisting of two Shastrams. Why do we say that? Why do we say the one Veda consists of two Shastrams? Because the Anubandha Chatushtayam differs. The Anubandha Chatushtayam of the Purva Bhaga, the first part of the Veda, Anubandha Chatushtayam of the Uttara Bhaga, the later part of the Veda, are different. Now the question might come, what do we mean by Anubandha Chatushtayam? Anubandha Chatvaraha Anubandaha, Anubandha Chatushtayam. There are four factors, four aspects involved in any text. Any textbook, you take it, definitely it has four aspects. First aspect is Vishayaha, the subject matter contained in the textbook is called Vishayaha. So the subject matter of the Veda Purva Bhaga is different, subject matter of the Veda Uttara Bhaga, the later part of the Veda, is different. Two different subject matters. Then second factor is Adhikari. Adhikari, when you say the person who is intended, for whose sake subject matter is presented, who is inclined to read and understand the subject matter. The person who is interested in the subject matter is the Adhikari. If a sports magazine comes, how many of us are interested in sports magazine? How many of you are interested? There are adhikaris. There are adhikaris who are interested in reading sports magazines. There are adhikaris who are interested in reading science magazines. Like that, adhikaris differ. There are some people who are keen to read Tamar books. So adhikari means the qualified person who is inclined to study the subject matter, understand it, or who is eligible, who is qualified for understanding subject matter. It's called adhikari. I mean, you can say qualified student who is interested in the subject matter. Then the third aspect is sambandha. The connection between the text and the subject matter. Pratipadaka pratipadya sambandha. The revealer revealed connection. That we'll explain later on. It's quite a subtle thing. We'll explain later on. Then the fourth factor is phalam. Phalam or prayojanam, the benefit. What is the benefit by gaining the knowledge of that subject matter? Phalam. So vishayaha, adhikari, sambandaha, phalam or prayojanam. They are the four aspects which constitute the anubandha chatushtayam. There are four factors involved in any textbook. Therefore, the two different anubandha chatushtayams. Therefore, we say the two different shastrams are there in one Veda. Even though the entire Veda is a means of knowledge. Entire Veda serves as a means of knowledge, even though it has two different anubandha chatushtayam, two different shastrams. So Veda Purabhaga mainly deals with rituals, performance of rituals, the know-how of rituals. So it is called Karma Kandaha. It also includes the Upasana Kanda. The two sections form the first part. So which involve the physical activities, the oral activity and also mental activity. So the rituals involve the physical kayikam karma, then vachikam karma and manasam karma. So in physical activity, the organ of speech may be involved, may not be involved. Definitely, the mind is definitely involved. In oral activity, of course, the body may not be involved, definitely mind is involved. And in mental activity, mind alone is involved, purely. So kayikam, vachikam, manasam, karmani, vishayaha. They constitute the subject matter of the karma, upasana kandas, which form the first part of the Veda. So here, the adhikari is also the one who is interested in artha, kama, dharma. He is the adhikari. And artha, kama, dharmas are the prayojanani. Are the benefits. By studying, understanding, by implementing that knowledge in terms of performing rituals, etc., what one can accomplish is artha, kama, dharma, not moksha. Whereas in later part of the Veda, otherwise called Veda Antabhagaha, called Veda Antashastram, consists of Upanishads, Upanishadaha. Upanishads form the Veda Anta Shastram, subject matter of which is Jiva Jagad Ishvaraha. See, who is an individual, what an individual is, what this universe is, who Bhagavan is, and what is the connection between this Jiva, Jagat and Ishvaraha. So Jiva, Ishvara, Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara, Sambandaha, Aikya is the Vishaya, subject matter of the Upanishads. And understanding of the subject matter of this Upanishads results in the attainment of moksha. So moksha is the phalam, benefit. So artha kama dharmas are the ends to be accomplished by the Pura Bhaga, with the help of the Pura Bhaga. And moksha is the end to be accomplished with the help of the Uttara Bhaga, later part. Therefore, the benefits are also different. Artha Kama Dharma are time-bound relative ends, whereas moksha is timeless end, absolute end, ultimate end. This difference being there, we say two different shastras are there. So in Veda, that's why in Veda, Anta Shastram consists of many, many Upanishads. And of them, the major Upanishads are there. The major Upanishads means the Upanishads which have the honor of having the Bhashyam written by Adishankara Bhagavatpada and other Acharyas also. Whereas this, the minor Upanishads do not have the commentaries, but still they are very popular ones. Like the small Upanishad, of those small Upanishads, the Kaivalya Upanishad is also very well-known Upanishad, small Upanishads. I just thought I'll just take this time for you. I'll cover this Upanishad this time. We need, in the Karma Kanda part also, their prayers, the karmas, the rituals performed, the rituals, they're all for mainly for three things. There are world of objects of enjoyment. You need the objects of enjoyment for enjoyment, which is called a Vishaya Praptihi. And even if the objects of enjoyment are available, you need good, healthy instruments of enjoyment, good body, mind and senses, without which you can't enjoy the external world of objects also. Therefore, Indriya Praptihi. Indriya Praptihi means, no? I mean, body, mind, sense complex. So this must be healthy so that you can enjoy the world better. So Indriya Praptihi, Vishaya Praptihi, and also apart from that, by performing rituals, not only these worldly pleasures, they also the pleasures to be enjoyed later on after life in higher lokas called Loka Praptihi. Different Shastram talks about varieties of the lokas also. So Loka Praptihi. Like for all these things, you need kaikam, vachikam, manasam, karma. For Indriya Prapti, you need for the healthy instruments of enjoyment, for the improvement of the instrument of enjoyment, you need to worship and pray, which are performed in the name of rituals. So for Vishya Praptihi, even to have, you need grace for the enjoying things also. You must have the things to enjoy, for which also you need grace, for that also we have these rituals. And the Loka Praptihi, not only these pleasures, also the pleasures in higher lokas, which our Shastram talks about, even for that we need these rituals. For Kayikam, Vachikam, Manasam, Karmani are for Indriya Prapti, Vishaya Prapti and Loka Prapti, for all these things. But they're all time bound in nature, that's why they all come under the category of Artha, Kama, Dharma only. For only for moksha, all that you need is jnanam. Jiva, Jagad, Ishvara, Jnanam, Sambandha Jnanam is required for moksha and which is discussed in the Upanishads. Which means Upanishad serves as means of knowledge. Pramana Grantaha. Pramanam. Pramakaranam Pramanam. Prama means knowledge. The word Prama, we'll be very careful in pronouncing it. We should not write it Brahma. Brahmaha, confusion. Prama, knowledge. Brahmaha, Bhrantihi, they mean the same. Brahmaha, masculine gender word, Bhrantihi, feminine gender word, and if you happen to write in Tamil, I'm just saying, therefore, Prama, P-R. That's why I'm mentioning, as I want to mention it. Prama means knowledge. So, Prama jayate anena iti pramanam. Prama bhavati prama karanam. Anena iti pramanam. That through which knowledge rises, knowledge happens, is pramanam. So any valid means of knowledge is pramanam. That is why every sense organ is a pramanam for a given object of given object. For light, your eyes are the pramanam. To have the knowledge of sound, your hearing power is the pramanam. To have the knowledge of taste, your smell power of smelling is the pramanam. To have the knowledge of taste, your power of taste is the pramanam in the tongue. Like this, for each sense organ is a pramanam of its own vishaya, its own object, corresponding object. Like that, we have Paurusheya Pramanani Pancha. They are five instruments of knowledge. Not the sense organs, Purusha, the human means of knowledge. We generally talk about these five. Like Pratyaksha Pramanam. Pratyaksha Pramanam, the indirect perception. Pratyaksha Pramanam. Then we have Anumana Pramanam. Anumanam or Anumitihi. You can say both. Anumanam, inference. Then Upamanam, we have comparison. Arthapatihi, postulate or assumption. Anupalabdihi, non-cognition. So these are the five, generally, these are the five Paurusheya Pramanani. These are the five means of knowledge we have. So Pratyaksha Pramanam, Anumana Pramanam, Upamana Pramanam, Arthapatti Pramanam, Anupalabdhi Pramanam. exhibit this inference, assumption or postulate, comparison and non-cognition, they're all based on the data you collect through perception, direct perception, pratyaksha pramana. So they're all these pramanani are extrovert, turned outwards. If these pramanas, pramanani, you can use only for gaining knowledge of the objective world. Objective means of knowledge. Even our science. So all, you know, all science, any scientific conclusion also what? Based on our data collected externally only. Therefore, if you say, so these pramanani have their own limitations, which means these means of knowledge cannot serve as means of knowledge of much subtler reality. Here we say, it is the reality which is to be understood, which is to be recognized. It is knowledge of the reality which will help you understand the sambandha, jiva, jagad, ishvara sambandha, the connection between the individual, the Lord and the cosmos can be understood only when the connection can be understood only when you understand the reality. That reality in Tamil we say Paramporul. The same reality in Sanskritam it's implied by the term Brahma, Parambrahma. So Ekam Vastu, we say there's only reality, and that reality needs to be understood. So we call Brahma Jnanam. So Brahma Jnane Naiva Jiva Jagad Ishvara Sambandaha Avagamyate. Only by understanding the reality, and you understand the connection between all these three, we resolve the difference, all this difference also, when you understand this Brahman. Therefore, Brahma Jnanam is required, means, and how to know that Brahman? What is the Pramanam I can use to have the knowledge of Brahman? And this is where we need the Sampradaya. If we break our own heads, let me use my own intellectual capacity, let me exercise my intellect, and let me arrive at this, when you say, we will fail. This is where Sampradaya comes into the picture. Sampradaya helps. This, the reality, the truth of this whole cosmos, and truth of the so-called, even if you use the word creator or Ishvara, the truth of the individual is one and the same, and that reality is implied by the term Brahman. Only the implying word, Brahman is only an implying word. And that reality is available for recognition only in one's own mind as one's own swarupam. So Brahma Jnanam, Atma Jnanam, Eva Brahma Jnanam. They're not two different things. Self-knowledge is knowledge of the reality, of the whole. And here, all these Paurusheya Pramanani, all these five means of knowledge which we saw now, just enumerated quite quickly, those five are actually employed. Therefore, for this self-enquiry, because self-enquiry alone will result in Atma-jnanam, which is in fact Brahma-jnanam, and for which you need a different pramanam. The five pramanas are not capable of revealing your own sarupam. They are employed by you, so they cannot reveal your own sarupam. That is when you understand the limitations of these other pramanams, and you arrive at the conclusion that there is another pramanam which you need. And that is called Shabda Pramanam. Shabda Pramanam also here, the Veda Anta Shastram, the Upanishads consist of Shabdas, words, and those words have to be handled and those words have to be unfolded in certain way that it gives you the vision, the unfoldment of the careful handling of the words of Shastram, give you the vision, the vision which does not contradict your reasoning. That's how you accept it. Otherwise, how will you accept? If you give the vision, you shouldn't contradict your... If it contradicts, you can't call it a vision. And how it gives the vision, that is why only when you are in the class, when you see how the words are unfolded, and you will see that. How it gives that vision. Therefore, we say this Vedanta Shastram here, the Upanishad serves as the Pramanam. Because anything other than you, an object of knowledge, when it happens to be different from you, then you can use any Pramanam. When you have to know you yourself, then these pramanams are incapable of revealing yourself. Therefore, you need a different pramanam. The Upanishad serves as a means of knowledge. So, there you are a very pramata. I have to introduce another word. Pramata is the knower. Because already I introduced these words to you in my other classes. That's why I'm just straight away I'm coming here. Pramata is the knower. And pramanam is a means of knowledge. Instrument of knowledge. Pramata, subject of knowledge. And prameyam is object of knowledge. Prama is knowledge. Prama or pramitihi. These two words. So to have a knowledge of anything in the world other than you, which is an object of knowledge, you can use any of these means of knowledge. Whereas this reality implied by the term Brahman, which has to be recognized, which cannot be experienced, okay, that's the big thing. Which has to be recognized as the swarupam of the very pramata, the knower. So you cannot use other means of knowledge. Therefore, Upanishad Patanam. Why do we study Upanishad, even though I did not do this much? It's very basic introduction. I just thought, let me do it, because some new people are coming today. That's why I just started with this introduction. Otherwise, I don't need to do this introduction. So Upanishad study is for arriving at the truth, because it serves as Shabda Pramanam, as a means of knowledge of the reality. And here, this Kaivalya Upanishad, also belongs to the Atharva Veda. And we have a Shanti Mantra for every Veda. And whichever Upanishad we start and we read, we study the first Shanti Mantra, then we continue with that study of the Upanishad. And you also know the purpose of doing the Shanti Mantra in the beginning is to ward off the obstacles involved in understanding the subject matter of the Shastra. And generally, the obstacles arise only from three different sources. There is no fourth source of obstacle. Where do the obstacles come from? Pratibandaha. Pratibandaha is an obstacle. Pratibandaha, where do they come from? Where do they rise from? There are only three sources of obstacles. You yourself become a source of obstacle. You yourself means what? Suppose if you fall sick, if you have headache or backache, you can't sit down, you can't come to the class. If you come to the class, you can't listen, you can't focus, which means you yourself become a source of obstacle. Your own physical body or mind can become a source of obstacle. Therefore, these obstacles caused by the problems arising from one's own self, for which one's own self is the source. We say adhyatmika tapaha. Adhyatmika tapaha. The word tapaha means pain. Tapaha also means heat. And pain has the capacity to scorch the mind. You know, pain can scorch. Just as heat can scorch the things, pain can scorch also. Therefore, pain also is called, known by the term tapaha. Atapaha, tapaha. We have these words. So, adhyatmika tapaha means pain caused by obstacles for which one's own self is the source of obstacle. We say adhyatmika tapaha. Then anything other than yourself, or anybody other than yourself, become a source of obstacle, then the pain caused by obstacles arising from, for which this source is anything or anybody other than you, we call it Adi Bhautika Tapaha. Then pain caused by the obstacles caused by the natural calamities or crises, like, you know, even excess of heat or forest fire or anything else, that earthquakes and things, it's called Adi Daivika Tapaha. So Adhyatmika, Adi Bhautika, Adi Daivika Tapaha, which is Tapatrayam. So pain caused by obstacles arising from three different sources is called Tapatrayam. So Tapatraya Nivaranartham, Nivrityartham. For the removal of Tapatraya, we always begin the Upanishad study with the Shanti Shanti Pataha, the peace invocation. So here we have, that's why any Shanti Mantra ends with the Shanti, the word Shanti three times. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. We say three times. Any Shanti Mantra ends with Shanti three times. And here we have this particular mantra, Bhadram Karnevihi. So it is read. Is there a mantra in the book? Okay, I don't need you keep. As the first day of the class, let us begin this today. So tomorrow onward, we can continue with the actual Upanishad text. Okay? Om. You can recite after me. Bhadraṁ kanne-bhiṣṇuyāma devāḥ. Bhadraṁ kanne-bhiṣṇuyāma devāḥ. Bhadraṁ paśyemākṣabharyajatrāḥ. Sthirairangai-stuṣṭu-vāgam-sastanu-bhih. Vyashema deva hitai yada yuhu.
Vyashema deva hitai yada yuhu.
Swasti na indro vriddha shrava.
Swasti na indro vriddha shrava.
Swasti na pusha vishvaveda.
Swasti na pusha vishvaveda.
Swasti nastarkshyo arishtanemihi.
Swasti nastarkshyo arishtanemihi.
Swasti no brihaspatir dadhatu. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Here, any mantra begins with Omkaraha. I told you every time I came here, I explained any mantra, I explained this. A mantra begins with Omkaraha because Om is an auspicious utterance. Because it is a sound symbol of the Lord, the whole. In fact, Omkara is used for contemplation as well as meditation. Omkara is taken for both Nirguna Brahma Upasanam and Saguna Brahma Upasanam. It's used for meditation as well as for contemplation. In fact, in Mandukya Upanishad, the first The Omkara is, the meaning of Omkara is unfolded there in the mantras. Anyway, I'm not going to the details now. So, mantra begins with Omkara. Om. Then here, in this particular mantra, we come across this word Bhadram. Bhadram is a synonym of the words Shubham, Mangalam, Kalyanam, Sham, Shivam, Swasti. All these words mean the same. You have heard this word, no? Swasti, Sham, Shivam, Shubham, Mangalam, Kalyanam, Bhadram. All the words mean the same. So Bhadram means what? Sham means what? Shivam means what? Same meaning. Auspiciousness. Auspiciousness means what? Happiness. Happiness means what? That which does not cause unhappiness. And that which does not cause unhappiness, and that which drives away the unhappiness once understood. And that which is free from unhappiness. See? That which is free from dukkham, and that which does not cause dukkham, and that knowing which dukkham is driven away, is happiness. Dukkha rahitam dukkha ajanakam, dukkha, you know, duri karanam. That which dukkham duri karoti, that which drives away the dukkham, that which does not cause dukkham, that which is free from dukkham, is happiness, auspiciousness, is what is mangalam. Is the meaning of the word mangalam, kalyanam, sham, shivam, shubham. The auspiciousness, it's a noun. Therefore, bhadram, the mantra begins with an auspicious utterance, om, which is sound symbol of the Lord, the whole. Purnasya bhagavataha shabdatmakam. Then shabda, you know, the word, sound symbol of the Lord, the whole is om. Then it comes, bhadram karne bhishrunayama devaha. So here you seek the help of all the devatas, all the natural phenomena. Every phenomenon is manifestation of Ishvara only. Therefore, every phenomenon which is looked upon as devata in the Vedic tradition, Vedic culture. So, devaha, you know, you call all these devatas, e devaha, sambodhana prathama, in vocative case, e devaha, bhadram shrunuyama, bhadram karnebihi. Karnebihi is a Vedic usage. It must be karnaihi. Or karnabhyam. Isn't it? Karnena, karnabhyam, karnaihi. It must be karnabhyam. But in Vedic usage we have karnebihi. So may we karnebihi shrunuyama. May we hear only auspicious things through our ears. Means may whatever we hear bring auspiciousness to us. Which means may we not hear, it also implies what? May we not hear anything which will become an obstacle for discovering auspiciousness. That's the meaning. Bhadram shrunuyama karnebihi. Karnabhyam bhadram shrunuyama. Which means, may we be prepared, may we be able to listen to the unfoldment of subject matter of the Shastram properly, so that we can understand the facts, understand reality, thereby we can discover the auspiciousness. So may we not be distracted by anything else, which will take our mind, drag our mind away from the subject matter of the Shastra. That's the main, it's all, this is the meaning. So may we not listen to anything which will distract our attention from the subject matter of the Shastra, which will deprive us of from listening to the Shastra. So may we listen to the Shastram. So may whatever may we listen, may we listen only to the auspicious things. May we not listen to things which will make us unhappy. Bhadram karne bhishrunuyama devaha. It's a prayer. Because we have no say over the external world of objects. We have no say over things. You know, even if you don't want to hear anything, wrong things may come and fall into your ear. Unwanted, unpleasant, unhappy, horrible things may happen to listen. Therefore, we have no say. That's why we seek Bhagavan's grace. Bhagavan in the form of devatas. May Bhagavan of devatas bless us with auspiciousness, that may we not hear anything which will bring inauspiciousness to us. Bhadram karne bhishrunuyama devaha. भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः. सो देवाः, अगेन वी यूज अनदर वर्ड यजत्राः. यजत्राः इज अ सिनोनिम ऑफ द वर्ड देवाः. यजनात् त्रायते इति यजत्रः. वै देवतास्, देवास् आर् काल्ड् यजत्राः. यजनम् यजनम् मीन्स् वर्षिप्. यागः यज्ञः यजनम् आल् दीस् वर्ड्स् मीन् द सेम्. इट् मीन्स् वर्षिप्. त्रायते मीन्स् प्रोटेक्ट्स्. सो द प्रोटेक्टर् protector of the worshipper is called yajatraha. Yajantam trayate iti yajatraha. Yajanat trayate iti yajatraha. The one who protects the worshipper is called, the devatas or devas are called worshippers, the protectors of the worshippers. If you worship Lord Varuna, you will be blessed with rains. If you worship Agni, blessed with. So worshipping any devata will bless you with. Suppose Surya devata, you'll be blessed with. You'll be blessed by the devata. So you'll be protected. So devatas are rakshakaha also. Therefore, ejatraha. So those who worship, protect the worshippers are called devatas. Therefore, ejatraha. So, hey yajatraha, wo worship, protectors of the worshippers, bhadram pashyema akshabihi. Same prayer again. May we see only things which are auspicious to us. May we see things which bring auspiciousness to us. Amangala vastuni na pashyema. May we not see things which will distract our minds, you know, from Shastram, study of the Shastram, which will help us keep focus our mind in Shastram. May we see only things which will help us, bless us to focus attention, subject matter of the Shastram. May we not see things which will drag our minds towards other things. Therefore, may we see things only which will bring auspiciousness to us. May we not see things which will drag attention towards things which are not auspicious. For bhadram pashyemakshabharyajatraha. Good prayer. Very thoughtfully said. People come and ask what to chant, what mantra to chant. I tell you, so many mantras are there. Any mantra you chant it with Shraddha, one mantra you chant it repeatedly. So good people come and ask what to chant, what to pray, which to pray, what to recite, what to pray. Sometimes, you know, if you really know the efficacy of these prayers, how efficacious these prayers are, if you have Shraddha, chant this mantra, one mantra is enough. You will be taken care of repeatedly. Bhadram Kanyabhi Shunayama, we keep on saying, you will end up listening to subject matter of the Shastram somehow. So many are there, you have no time to chant all the mantras. Take one mantra if you really understand the significance of the worship and efficacy of these prayers, the Shraddha, if you understand these mantras are not simple, they sound simple, really, if you genuinely, intensely, if you recite these mantras, you will get the phalam. You will get really what you pray for, you must be aware of. Bhadram kanne bhishrunuyama devaha. Bhadram pashyemakshabharyajatraah. Sthirai rangai istushtu vagam sastanu bihi. Vyashema devahitayadayuhu. Yad ayuhu devahidam. Devahidam means ordained by the Lord. What has been ordained by the Lord? Ayuhu, the span of life. Yad ayuhu, the span of life ordained by the Lord. Ordained by law, Bhagavan in the form of law and order. We have not decided our date of birth. Nor can we decide our date of death also. Even if people decide they commit suicide also, they don't decide it much earlier. On such and such a date, I'm going to commit a suicide. They just do it. So the date of death and date of birth, we are not in our hands. We don't decide. It is ordained, but it is there definitely. Already predetermined date of birth. Predetermined date of death also. How, when? No. How much you struggle, you cannot know. It is there. That is why Devahitam, ordained by Bhagavan in the form of law and order. Yad ayuhu Devahitam, may that span of life ordained by Bhagavan, whatever span of life ordained by Bhagavan, may we live that span of life. How Vyashema, may we spend Vyashema. Yad ayuhu Devahitam, tad Vyashema, may we spend how? Enjoying healthy limbs, not with lot of pain. We have span of life, but lot of problems. So healthy limbs. Enjoying healthy limbs, and what should we do? Enjoying healthy limbs, singing in praise of the Lord. Singing in praise of the Lord means what? Appreciating Bhagavan in the form of law and order. Appreciating Bhagavan's presence. Singing the glories means not simply you are that and you are dead. That's okay, initially. Of understanding the concept of Bhagavan, Ishvara. So may we live this span of life ordained by Bhagavan, Him of law and order. Appreciating, understanding the concept of Ishvara. And singing the glories of Bhagavan. Glories means appreciating Bhagavan's contributions for our well-being. Thankfully, worshipfully, prayerfully, may we spend this life, span of life. Even in Tamil we say, Avan Arulal Avan Thal Patri. Even to pray to Bhagavan, worship Bhagavan, to appreciate Bhagavan, to appreciate how much we are given, how much we are blessed with, you need grace. Otherwise, we will not realize that. So that's why here the prayer is what? Yad ayuhu devahitam, may that the lifespan ordained by Bhagavan, may we spend that span of life enjoying healthy limbs and healthy body, singing the glories of Bhagavan. Singing the hymns of praise of Bhagavan. Vyashema devahitai yadayuhu swastina indro vriddhashravaha. Now we ask, go to Indra. We specify the devata called Indra. Now Indra stands for the physical prowess. Physical prowess personified is Indra. Who is Indra? It's a devata. Your physical prowess is looked upon as devata. Therefore, swasti na indro. So swasti again is auspiciousness, mangalam. So indraha mangala dayakaha bhavatu. May Lord Indra bless us with auspiciousness. Means what? May we have the appropriate physical prowess that we would be able to accomplish the end called moksha. That is the meaning. So, Vriddhashravaha means the one who is most popular, one who is most well known in the scriptures. when they perform yagas, Indra is always, there's a lot of ahutis are offered to Lord Indra. Indra is well-known devata. Therefore, Vriddhashravaha means the most popular, well-known Lord Indra. Indra devata bring auspiciousness to us, bless us with auspiciousness. This is the meaning of the line, Swasti na Indro Vriddhashravaha. Next, Swasti na Pusha Vishvavedaha. You don't get complete sentence there. Some mantras are, no, just words are there. We had to make out the make the complete sense. We had to take it as sentence. Swasti naha pusha vishvavedaha. See, Vriddhashravaha is an adjective for the word Indra. And here, vishvavedaha is an adjective for pusha. Pusha is another word for Surya Bhagavan. The Lord Sun is called Pusha. Suryaha, Adityaha, Bhaskaraha, Divakaraha, Dinakaraha, Dineshaha, Ayatkhridim, if you go, Gavastiman, Ravarashmiman, so many words you come across. But this particular word, you know, is actually Pusha. Pusha means, why Sun is called Pusha? Why Sun is Sun in English language? S-U-N, Sun. Why Sun is called Sun? Is there anybody who knows Latin or Greek? Maybe you can find the meaning of why sun is called sun in English language. The root meaning you can come out. I don't know. But in Sanskritam, every word has the meaning. Suryaha means shushtu irayati iti suryaha. One who energizes all the living beings is called, you know, enlivens all them is called Suryaha. Similarly here, Pusha, why sun is called Pusha? Poshayati iti Pusha. Push, dhatu, no push nati, no poshakaha. So the one who nourishes all the beings, enlivens all the beings, energizes all the beings, remaining as the very nutrients of all the herbs also. Therefore, Pusha. And made is also Vishvavedaha means the one, Surya Devata is the Devata who cannot be missed by anybody in the world. Even in Shirudram, there is a mention. Even ordinary women who carry water, they can see the sun. Even ordinary cowherd boys can see the sun. Why? Anybody can see. Sun is Pratyaksha Devata, Suryaha. Isn't it? Sun God, we say sun. Nobody can say, oh, what is sun? I don't know who sun is. Nobody can say that. Indra Varna can say. Whereas who is sun? Everybody knows. That is why Vishvavedaha means the one who is known by all the people is called Vishvavedaha. The Surya Devata who is Pusha, Sarvesham Jantunam Poshakaha. This Pusha, the enlivener, energizer, the nourisher of all the beings is Sun God, the one who is well known by all the beings also. Such Sun God, Surya Devata, bring auspiciousness to us. Means bless us with all auspiciousness. Means may all these Devatas bless us that we are able to pursue our knowledge, pursue our study of the Shastram, and we can have right understanding of subject matter of the Shastram. So, Swasti na Indro Vriddhashravaha, Swasti na Pusha Vishvavedaha, Swasti na Starksho Arishtanemihi. Now we have Tarkshyaha. Tarkshyaha is an eagle, Garuda. You know, Garuda's mother is called Trikshya. Father is Trikshyaha, we say, they say. Trikshasya apatyam puman tarkshyaha. So made is Garuda Devata, Bhagavan in the form of the eagle also. We see every phenomenon as Devata only. So made Bhagavan in the form of this Garuda, no, blesses with auspiciousness. And here, anything we start, we always, there'll be some obstacle, some obstruction. And why we think of Garuda here? Garuda, this Vainateya, Garuda is known for his unobstructed flight. Very elegant, and nobody can stop Garuda when he starts flying. You know that? That's why he's called the one who is of unobstructed flight, eagle. One who is unobstructed flight. Other birds' flight, no, they can have some obstacles, some obstruction, because Garuda goes very, and they're very elegant. The one who is of very elegant flight and also unobstructed flight. Swasti nastarkshyo arishtanemihi. Arishtanemihi means one who is of unobstructed flight. So may Garuda, the Bhagavan him of eagle devata, bless us with auspiciousness. Which means let our pursuit of study be obstacle-free study, obstruction-free study. May understanding also be, you know, obstruction-free understanding. A lot of patibandhas might come and confuse you. The vagueness might come and really stop you there. Sometimes suddenly people lose interest in Vedanta also. They study very seriously. Suddenly interest goes. Been listening all the time, Brahma, Atma, Indriyani, we listen all these things, and then what is this? Nothing happens. We only have knowledge, we don't know experience. People come with all sorts of complaints because they don't really study systematically, and then they get into trouble. They feel sort of nearness, they feel this sort of, it becomes insipid for them after some time. They feel bored and they want some experience. We have knowledge, we don't have experience. Something get confused. They give up also. So here we say, let the understanding be obstruction-free, vagueness-free, obstacle-free understanding. Let the study also be what? You know, obstacle-free study. So may Bhagavan in the form of Tarkshya bless us with auspiciousness. Which implies, may all Bhagavan in the form of all the phenomena, all the natural phenomena, bless us with auspiciousness. Auspiciousness means may all of them be conducive. May all of them be in such a way that they conduce, that we have conducive atmosphere for our study. So may Bhagavan bless us with auspiciousness. So may all the obstacles arising from three different sources be removed. This is the simplest meaning of this Shanti Mantra. Okay? We'll read this again. So we'll continue our class tomorrow. Okay? Tomorrow actually I'll enter into the actual text.
Om भद्रं कर्णे भिश्रुणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः स्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेम देवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
स्वस्ति नः बृहस्पतिः ददातु सुबृहस्पतिः Another Devata, the Guru, Brihaspati Devata is a Guru. The Jupiter, not Dakshinamurti. You get confused. So, may Bhagavan of the Guru, Brihaspati, he blesses with auspiciousness. generally we say, may Bhagavan, in the form of all the phenomena, all the devatas, bless us with auspiciousness, that may our study be obstacle-free, obstruction-free study, and may our pursuit of knowledge be complete and fulfilled. This is the prayer. This is a simple meaning of the mantra. Any significance extra, what I have to say, I'll explain again in due course of the classes. This mantra also I'll explain again.